Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
That's right. That's right. I checked out the All 22. We're going to get to that in a minute. But hey, y'all check this out, man. Real quick. I told y'all yesterday, yeah, I like to party. But Clint also loves them kids, right? Clint loves the kids. Hey, boys. I don't know if y'all seen this or not, but all the listeners out there, hey, man, $85,000. $85,000 raised by the Odyssey family. That's Sports Radio 610 and all of our sister stations. $85,000 raised, and we couldn't have done it without y'all.
Probably mainly the Drive family, though.
I agree. Well, I mean, that's fair. If you want to take a little bit more of the credit, I'm good with that. I'll ride with that. But hey, check it out, man. Big shout out to the Drive family out there. Big shout out to the city of Houston, the people of Houston. That's big time, man. $30. Think about that. $30 will buy a home library for a Houston area kid that otherwise wouldn't have a book in their home. Right? And I said this before, man. I'm telling y'all, I immediately think about my 2.5-year-old baby Liv. She absolutely loves for mama or daddy, mama more times than daddy, but she loves to have not one, but two books read to her at night. She opens them up. She tries to read them. She acts like she's reading them herself. Every kid deserves that to have that in their life. And you know what? Be honest with you. I'll be selfish. Every parent deserves to have that memory with their babies in their life. And $85,000, I don't know. I went to Arkansas. I got me a degree. I don't know. I can't bust up $85,000 by 30, y'all. I can't do it. But I know that we helped a whole hell of a lot of kids here in the Houston area, and some parents may be able to make those memories with them kids. So big shout out. Big shout out to all our sister stations. Big shout out to all the people that
shout out to Phillips 66.
Absolutely.
Everybody's.
Baytown Pipe Supply, Ricky Green, appreciate you too, and all the other small bits. Only one I got off the top of my dome right now.
Oh, Panama City, Ricky.
Yeah,
I'll never forget that trip.
Yeah,
bro.
I'm going to see his mama tomorrow. I got a dentist appointment tomorrow morning.
Getting the old teeth cleaned.
Absolutely. So
shout out Ron.
So yeah, man. Look, I mean, everybody involved.
Not familiar.
That was big time. So that's reason to party. And that's what it's all about, man. We've been working, grinding, having the opportunity to talk sports and for a damn living in this beautiful city is as if that's not enough, man. When they put something together here where we're able to play a small part in helping these kids, man, boy, it makes you feel good about what we do. And H-Town, we appreciate y'all. Hey, guys, the All-22 dropped, right? The All-22 dropped. I don't know why my phone's telling me it's a loud environment. I must be talking like my mom at this point in time. I must need to quiet down a little bit.
That's generally only reserved for Bear.
Hey, Ron. Hey, I dropped it. I'm working out today. By the way, my watch tells me all the time you're in a loud environment. Like they're telling me they're trying to protect my ears, right? I'm working out today, and I put a weight down. I must have put it down too hard on the floor. My watch said, looks like you've taken a hard fall. Emergency call. And it starts alerting, and I'm like, no, I'm standing, I'm upright. Don't call 911.
Somebody about to show up on your ass.
Don't call 911.
I didn't have that hit me yet.
I just dropped that heavy ass dumbbell I was moving around out there. You know what I mean? But the All 22, it dropped, and there's nothing better, man. You want to talk about football horny, man? There's nothing better. I could get lost in it in terms of watching it over and over and over again. There's just so much that the All 22 brings, man. And I got one takeaway. So far, now I'm in the fourth quarter right now. I hadn't completed the game yet in terms of watching inside. But boys, prepare yourself because this is the last thing. As if the offensive line playing as well as they did didn't surprise you enough. The best offensive lineman on that football field Sunday for the Houston Texans, Ron, Kenyon Green.
As you said. You said you was impressed now. It was better than what you thought.
Oh, better than what I thought. Hell, it was significantly better than what I thought. And I'll be honest with you. Hell, I've thought highly of it. I mean, I've been drawn to tears about the path the man's taken about rebuilding his body and trying to relay how difficult it is for a big guy to do that. So I expected him to play well.
And this isn't on a curve, you're saying,
no.
Right? This isn't on the, hey, Kenyon just coming back, his first game.
No.
If you
take the name off the back,
like,
Ron,
he was better than Shaq Mason.
Yes. Yeah, without a doubt.
He was better than Titus Howard.
Yeah, yes, without a doubt. Now, that's tackles versus guards is a hard comp,
saying,
right?
You but said
yes.
The best offensive
yes.
lineman.
Yeah. Yes. When you talk about what he at guard is asked to do, I think there were weak moments and mistakes made by both tackles. And I'm not even talking about the penalties, but you can throw that in there as well. There were situations where, you know, leaving double teams too early by the tackles, or not handling a twist up front by the tackles. There were just some moments in there. Shaq Mason, as an interior guard, there was I believe it ended up being a sack. Shaq Mason didn't pass off a I think it was a tackle stunt, and gave up a sack. And I'm not being critical of those guys. I'm just telling you that everybody across the board, other than Kenyon Green, unless in the fourth quarter he blows up, then you know, he's the best offensive lineman in that game. With Juice Scruggs left him, he hung him out to dry one time and left him, and I think it gave away an immediate pressure because they brought three weak. And Juice Scruggs went strong for some reason. So Laramie got a guy, and Kenyon got a guy, and then the third guy came free. So that appeared to be on Juice, not Kenyon. Ron. I mean, if you take the name and you take the number off the jersey, and you just watch this film, the first guy that you say, and you do it multiple times, by the way, the first guy that you look at the guy next to, say, hey man, who is that? Who is that playing guard?
Who is it?
You're not asking about the tackles. You're not asking about the right guard. Hey, who is playing left guard right now? Damn, that was good. And then you get to watching him, and it's like, damn, he's got good feet. And then you watch him, it's like, he's not just blocking well in the run game, Ron. He's road grading, folks.
Yeah, he's demolishing people. What people thought he would be coming out of A&M.
You know, I think it's the first run of the game ended up being like a 3 or 4 yard gain, and it's the one where Big Boy, what's Big Boy's name in the middle?
Buckner.
Buckner made the tackle, like it was, and I remember when it happened, it was weird because, like, why was Buckner that far in the backfield? Did he stunt? Was he playing linebacker? Like, what the hell? What the hell was that? Kenyon and Laramie doubled him, and then both let him go. And I think it was Laramie let him go. That's why
he was going to go to the second level.
But when I say, but it was one where Kenyon had him initially, and it was the guards got him, and the tackle's going supposed to take him over, and the guard was going to go up to the next level, right? Well, they both went to the next level, so they screwed that up. But the initial push of the 3 to 4 yards was Kenyon kicking his ass. I mean, it was, and it wasn't just that. The play that somebody posted on YouTube the other day where Kenyon got to the second level and
passed off on Buckner and then
got up to 32.
32, yeah.
Yeah, guess what? There's a very similar play where he got up on what's Zaire Franklin, the linebacker that was talking that trash to CJ. He didn't take him to the ground, but he got up and gave him his business. I mean, it was like, I'll tell you this. And again, I want to preface it by saying the fourth quarter may blow up on me now, but you know who the second best lineman was? Most impressive?
Juice?
No doubt. No doubt.
The two guys that were...
that played the most in the preseason.
And the question was...
Yep. Yep. I mean, Ron, I'm telling you, though, they when you talk about... I don't know about how you watch film, but when I watch film, it's like, I really don't expect my... Unless I'm watching Trent Williams, I really don't expect my tackles to just be real nasty, dirty, you know, physical maulers. Like, I just don't... If you find one, I love it. Now, don't get me wrong, but like I don't expect that. I absolutely 100% expect it from my interior offensive linemen. And all three of our interior offensive linemen had plays where they were just, I mean, absolute dogs in the middle. And I mean, I never would have thought that I'd be sitting here talking about Kenyon Green being the best. If I'm telling you.
Not game one.
I'm telling you, not game one, man. I'm anxious to see. I don't know. I have to ask Bajani or Creighton, one of the advanced stat guys. But I'd be interested to see if they post grades anywhere. I'd be willing to bet you right now.
I'm sure PFF did.
I'd be willing to bet you right now that Kenyon's the top graded lineman.
Especially in a day where they were, to me, the number one I think they were the number one reason the team won.
Absolutely.
And to think that they were the number one reason that their team won in putting up 29 points and Kenyon Green was the best from your vantage point is a huge step.
Yeah. Yeah.
We said he's passed every single step that he's had to pass since, you know, OTAs, mandatory minicamp, all of that. And now it has paid off and he's looking good on the field.
Ron, whether you're talking about knowing your assignment and executing it, you're talking about pass protection, holding your ground so the quarterback has somewhere to push up in the pocket, or we're talking about the run game where you're not just working a double team, but you are driving a defensive tackle 2, 3, 4 yards deep and allowing the tackle to take over. And then you're showing athletic ability to get to that next defender, whether it's a linebacker or a safety. And then on top of that, you're showing the ability to finish violently. You're showing that level of dog that everybody hoped that you would have been when you got drafted. This Kenyon Green that we saw Sunday is absolutely worth taking in the first round. This Kenyon Green that we saw Sunday, again, you take the numbers and the names off of it, that is the guy that you point to and you want to know who the hell that is. That's the guy you point to and you say, that's the tone setter on this offensive line. That guy you better run it off the left guard's ass because that guy right there means business. That's how violent, how physical, and how impressive Kenyon Green was Sunday against the Colts. Can he do it for 17-18? I don't know. But on Sunday versus the Colts, he was the best Texans offensive line.
Got to be gaining confidence off of that performance, especially, man, at times, as you said, manhandling Buckner like he did. That's got to give him major, major confidence moving forward.
Absolutely. The other thing, real quick, I mean, I just stroked the hell out of Kenyon Green, so this is going to be a little bit of a buzzkill, but Will Anderson, Ron, I'm going to tell you, maybe it's just that we've had an offseason and I've been watching preseason football and I've been watching training camp. And this ain't nothing that we don't already know about Will Anderson, but it was showcased in a big way. He is a MFing problem, bro.
Kid is a freaking baller.
In a good way,
I'm gonna tell you this, just watching that game. If I'm an offensive coordinator, if I'm an offensive line coach, if I'm an O lineman in this league, if I'm a tackle, I'd rather try to block Danielle Hunter. I don't know. I'm not saying I would have more success against Danielle Hunter.
But physically, you're putting in work.
Physically, in a
you
game.
You go soak in the tub after.
Bro, we've all had this guy. We've all had this guy, right?
Greg Casey.
The guy at practice that just has such a high motor that late in practice, you're like, come on, man, we're just trying to get to the house.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, come on, man.
You can't play. I only play one way.
That's what Will Anderson looks like in a game. It looks like everybody else is practicing and just trying to hang on, and he is just killing folks. And it's like, it's not even, I looked up one time on the film, and I just paused the film, Ron, and it looked like there were three people trying to tackle him. There was a guard, a tackle, and I don't know if it's a tight end or a running back. They literally were all, and it's not even, it's not, it's just so violent and so nonstop that it's just like, if you're a tackle, it's got, like, I don't want to block this guy for four quarters. If I got to block him once or twice, cool, I'm fine with that. But if he's going to be on my side the whole game, give me Danielle Hunter. I'll go over here and get my ass beat on a pass rush a couple times and give up a couple sacks before I want to deal with this. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the pass rush is ever going to look like because there was nothing in there that I was like, man, you could see where he's, you know, and I don't know that we'll ever see that. But, the thing about him was that the pass rush skill set wasn't necessarily polished. I don't know that in this film you can really see anywhere where you're like, boy, he's gotten better in that pass rush. But I'm going to tell you, the high motor, the violent, high level of physicality, Will Anderson is real, and he's back. And that little old ankle injury that he was nursing for about, felt like 6 months in training camp, it didn't seem to bother him one bit. It may be sore today. Hell, he may have been on a snap count because of it. I don't know. But man, I'm telling you, he is an absolute monster, and it is nonstop. I don't know where the dude gets the energy.
Yeah, better get ready every time you face him. Mm. on Sundays. All right, coming up as we continue here on The Drive, Joe Espada. Chaz McCormick had to leave the game. Joe Espada addresses his wrist issue as hopefully he is not out for very much time. And we haven't been able to talk about the performance of the starter yesterday. I think it was impressive, and I think he added and helped himself in his quest to being a part of this postseason pitching rotation. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, we saw last night Chaz McCormick had the wrist situation. He had to leave the game hoping that this does not result in any long-term thing. It looked like, man, Chaz was getting some PT. Chaz was starting to get some run. Here is his manager, Joe Espada, giving us the latest update ahead of the A's game on Chaz's wrist.
He's good. He's better. He's sore. He's getting some imaging done today. We got to wait and see what the imaging shows. But hopefully, he can help us if there's nothing. Which we got some X-rays done yesterday. Nothing showing that he was fractured. So we just gotta make sure to see what he can help us do today.
So you still need to see the imaging. A man said he's good.
I'd check
that imaging real close now, Astros. Yeah, look for any kind of cracks, fractures, stuff like that.
They said he's fine. Imaging too.
He said he's fine.
It makes me mad that this makes me this mad.
What did I miss? What did he do?
Can we catch the imaging?
He ran into the fence on a catch. He was booking it on a catch late in the game and ran into the fence. He actually kind of ran out of the camera view. It was kind of back in that corner.
Okay, yeah. I remember it. Yeah.
But then all of a sudden he was pulled from the game and it was the wrist.
Can we see the imaging first before we announce he's fine?
Yeah, let us see it.
No, you can see it.
We'll diagnose.
I'm just saying you see it first before you say yeah, man, he's fine. We still got to see that imaging though, because that imaging could tell you that he's not he's.
May not be fine. I mean, obviously, it was bad enough to pull you out of the game.
Pull you out of the game, yeah. But at least there's no fracture. They said they saw the X-rays last night. Clint said there was no fracture. So hopefully they got a new X-ray machine, and this is a new one. But Chaz, we'll see. We'll see if he misses some time. But I mean, I don't know, Gamble. Gamble being out there, Gamble and Dubon being in the outfield, Tucker hopefully coming along soon. He's not in the lineup today. Somebody texting earlier said, damn it, Ron, I'm tired of this yo-yoing with Tucker. Why is he not in the lineup? I told you when he came back. They're probably going to ease their way into him every day. Like, I think they're clearly easing their themselves into him playing in the outfield, which he hasn't done yet. And what was it? He just got back Friday? Like, he's going – he'd probably play a day, maybe have a day off. He may play two days, have a day off. So, yeah, I mean, they're just – that. That's not a surprise or nothing wrong with that from the decision makers. That's an understanding that you want to take it. You want to take your time to make sure he's good and rested well enough because he didn't have a rehab start or anything like that. He's coming right to the big league.
Well, it's a luxury the Astros have right now, right? I mean, you're – You're in a spot where you don't have to rush the guy back into full go and potentially create some level of tightness or some level of discomfort, if not re-injure something, which I know you're not going to re-injure the bone that was clearly broken. But there's other things around it. Swelling could happen. So there's just no, that the luxury that the Astros have right now is they don't have to make that level of decision immediately. There's no reason to rush it.
So that's the latest there. I will say we hadn't really talked about this with Spencer Arrighetti last night. And I know I'm kind of weird when it comes to this. I get impressed by moments like this. I was impressed when this happened with CJ last year. I've been impressed. I was really impressed by Spencer Arrighetti's performance. He had that. What were they at Philly, where he almost had that no hitter going before it was blown from Shea at third base. But that was an impressive game. He's had 13 strikeout games, 11 strikeout games, 12 strikeout games. I was impressed to him almost getting through seven innings, 6 2/3. And Clint Tyler, it was clear early on. He wasn't completely.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have.
Trust me, I know I had $100 on him strikeouts.
Yeah, he didn't have his good stuff. It was strikeouts, but he just didn't have, you know, he's good. So he gives up a run in each of the first two innings, but then he buckled down. He started to get stronger as it went on, and you guys, you know, made your money with your strikeout bet because he sure was sitting there with about three.
Most surprising text I ever got.
Got it off because
I was going back and forth between that and the debate, back and forth.
At some point, you're probably giving up on that.
He started slow.
Oh no, I was on my way to just go ahead and shoot that Cash App to Tyler, and then all of a sudden I got that. Hey, you can thank me later, Clint, or whatever the hell he said. You're welcome.
Hey, we might be onto something. Me not using that L word yesterday. Anyway, Ron, continue.
Yeah,
sir.
No, I just 6 2/3. He gave up those two runs in the first two innings on a long homer in the second, and then a sacrifice fly. But that was it. Right, that was it. He was able to get himself out of trouble. And for you to be a rookie, 24 years old, this late in the year, this many innings that you've never had before, Clint, and be able to go through a major league lineup and almost get through seven innings without having your good stuff and what we look up, it's 2-0.
Yeah.
I mean, you give a quality start on that. That was impressive to me from Spencer.
Yeah, I think it just, if you're talking about like the resume to sell yourself to be on that, to be one of those starters in the playoffs, right? Is now you fought through not having your best stuff. Now, what you hope is with last week or last start where he just got shelled in the first inning, or this week not having your best stuff, you hope like hell. To your point, Ron, that the number of innings, the load that he's seen year one, you hope that's not causing issues. You know, you hope that he's not running out of steam. You hope that the mechanics aren't getting funky on him. And here we are, September the 11th. You hope that he was tipping pitches last time, and this time, hey, he just didn't have his best stuff, but he'll bounce back. So, but I love where your head's at, man. Like that on his resume, again, that's why. So many people have so much confidence in Verlander, right? Being okay is that not only is there potential that he's going to be great. Not only is he obviously long in the tooth, pelts on the wall, veteran, but also if he doesn't have his best stuff, he can fight through and keep you at in striking distance. And this offense can win those type of games. And so if Spencer can do that as well, it's definitely a notch on his belt.
No, it is, and that. Like, and that's in any sport, most sports where when you're not playing your best and you don't feel your best and you are still like, it's like, hey man, when you come in like tonight, if Hunter Brown comes in and Hunter, he's feeling good. He's got his good fastball.
Hunter has got that swag.
He's got a great control of his secondary pitches. Like Hunter Brown has got it where he can mow through a lineup.
Yeah.
Like he can get like Framber against the Royals a couple games back, or his last start, hell, every start in the second half, Framber, you just feel good. When you come out there and you're Hunter Brown tonight and you don't have a good feel of your secondary pitches and maybe your control of your fastball isn't quite where you want it to be, or maybe you're not throwing it as hard as you want it to be and you're still able to get through and give a quality start, that's big time. That is a game changer.
Well, it's next level.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's the difference between being a great middle of the road pitcher, two or three guy in a rotation, to, hey, this guy's got ace type of stuff.
Yeah.
It feels
that's
huge.
A 4-5 starter. It's, oh man, it feels every, you know.
Yeah, you just hope and pray, right?
But if not, I get hit around. So Spencer Agetti, who we talked about yesterday, is still, I think, has a really, really good opportunity to have himself in line to make a postseason start for the Astros. I think yesterday helped even more, even though it wasn't one of his great, you know, 12, 13 strikeout performances. 6 2/3, 7 Ks, and you start piling them up late as you're rolling through and almost get through 7 after, you know, giving up 2 runs in the first, and then keep your team in it, and they should have won the game, but they tie it at least. That was big time for him last night.
Yes, sir.
It was. All right, coming up, I think Clint feels vindication. But I don't know if you did. Did you apologize to your wife yet? You're not going to tease that.
I know. It's
and fair. Not and not. We're going to have you apologize.
Got a little football horn
to your wife. And you did. You know. Yeah, and because you sound like you need to get yourself out of whatever house you've built. So
before we get to that boner,
we'll figure that out coming up next right here on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming in from the text line, did Chaz sleep wrong last night or the night before?
Ha, ha, ha.
I think we saw this one not running funny. Into the wall. But he could have slept wrong and then that
compounded it.
Yeah. That agitated it to make it worse. So you never know there. You never know. But we'll have to take a look at the imaging first. But I do want to get into Clint's his vindication from last night and how that game played out. But you're not going to tease that you owe your bride an apology and then roll through it. So what is this that you need to apologize? Because I want to make sure you're at home being able to take a bath and drink wine with her.
Well, I hope she's listening. I don't know if she's going to be in the bathtub, but the bathtub wine session tonight. I got a little aggressive today. I got a little aggressive, boys.
Where is this going?
Well, see, usually, you know, when we, like a lot of times when we work out together.
Oh, God. We've talked about this, man.
I wish you could have seen the look on Rod's.
Why are y'all working?
Well, it's
this doesn't end well when you all work out.
Go hard or go home.
It's some of our quality, go hard by yourself.
It's some of our quality time together, Ron. And she appreciates the help, and I just go overboard sometimes. Here's where I was at, boys. Sometimes when we work out, right, my mom, like on Monday, Tuesday, my mom watches the kids, so the kids are there. So we like to bring Liv out with us, and so we got to play. So a lot of times we listen to Lion King music. And you really just can't, and you got to keep an eye on the kid, and you kind of got to just get through it, you know? Well, today, after doing that for 2 days, today, my mother-in-law picks the kids up and takes them to her house. And I immediately say, hey, I'm fixing to work out. You won't. In my mind, right, I'm thinking, okay, I'm fixing to get the right music going. We got no distractions. It's not overly hot where you got to take breaks and you got to pour water over your head, but you're going to get a really good sweat. So I put myself in this frame of mind of like, yeah, me and my bride's fixing to get this work. We're going to mash this workout.
And you're not at all telling yourself, all right, hey, man, make sure to keep myself
I didn't.
Calm, keep I
will,
myself cool.
I will from now on. I will from now on. I said, as you know, I mean, you know, when you, a big part of a woman's recovery, obviously, after you have a baby is you know, getting your abs back right, just strengthening them, because if you have a C-section, obviously they cut, you know. So we're over here and we're doing our abs and we're working out, and I said, babe, do this, you know, hold your we were doing leg lifts. I said, hold your leg. I said, now I'm gonna hold my hand up. And before I even got done, she's like, I can't do it. She said, I can't do it. So I just
BS. You can do it.
No, I even more. I almost kind of was like real dismissive.
You didn't say
I kind of just
lazy, did you?
No, it gets worse. I kind of just worse than lazy. I just kind of rolled my eyes and walked off and got back in my workout. And she says,
and this was a visible eye roll.
Oh yeah, no, and absolutely, it was visible. Yeah, it was.
Are you shitting me?
And she's like, it wasn't an eye roll, really. It was more of, you know how we are, just bad body language. I'm not a big eye roller. I'm more of a bad body language guy. And she said something about, why do you just respond that way? And I was like, it's just so weak.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
Clint.
I was like, not, tried to recover, Ron. I said, not weak as in you're weak. Physically, like just mentally, it's such a weak mindset.
You're not recovering.
Dirty
now
started.
He called her mentally weak.
Oh, I started.
He got out of physically weak.
She said, baby, I can't. She tried to give me a chance.
I just had a baby.
She tried to give. No, she didn't go there. She just said, I just can't do that. And I said, yeah. And what you were just doing, you couldn't do that a week ago. But I pushed you, and now you can. Now you're doing them good.
He made it about
hit
himself.
The brakes. Somebody tell him hit the brakes.
Where was Gary Pettis? No, that was Gary. Was there?
It was not good.
Sending him.
It was not good.
Get the hell out of here.
And how did she quit working out?
She abandoned the workout.
Gosh damn it.
She abandoned me, not the workout. Let's be honest. She was disgusted with me.
Did you yell at her as she was walking away that she was a quitter?
I went in the house and I was like,
oh, hold on. So how long? So after, what was the last words before she got up?
Well, I said, I was proud of myself because she said something about, I don't even want to work out with you right now when you're acting like that. And I said, well, fine. I just said fine, like almost like in a real soft voice. I didn't say it like what I typically would say. You know, like if it were you doing that, I would have been like, you motherfucker, you know. I said, well, fine. And so she abandoned me. So I got up about 2 minutes later off my last set, and I walked in there, and I walked through the house. I couldn't find her. So I text her. I said, come finish your workout. I said, you got to finish this workout.
Your lead in the text was you got to finish this workout anything?
No, I don't apologize via text. I apologize in person. And so anyway, well, I don't know where she – I guess she went back. Her office is next door in the guest house. So I guess she went next door. Well, then she comes back, Ron, and she comes in, and she must have been timing, waiting until I got done. Like, she didn't want to be in there with me.
No, she did. No, she does not. Yeah. And that text message, come on in here and finish your workout. So, hey, probably not the route to roll.
As soon as she walked out, I said, you going to finish the workout, huh? And she goes, yep. And I said, I know I was wrong. I'll turn it down a notch. My bad.
What did she say? Whatever. She probably wasn't ready to accept that apology.
She wasn't ready to have that conversation yet. She was ready to get her workout in, which I'm proud of her. And then I went and did my job because she waited until I finished my workout. So I went and did my job.
That's pitiful.
As she was leaving the house, though, when I was coming back, I mouthed to her, I'm sorry. And she smiled. So you think I'm all right?
I don't know, man.
I really struggle with this, boys.
Is this one where she holds this throughout the day? Like,
oh, she'll hold
Courtney's
some stuff.
Courtney's a
now.
Holder.
She'll hold some stuff now, but I would usually know if she's holding it. Like, I'll know when I walk in the door tonight if she's
holding
it.
You'll know.
But I want to work out with my bride.
At some
point,
you're going to have to get in a little bit more than, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
and like, you're going to have to, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, listen, that was.
Yeah.
I should have been more sympathetic to your, to where you
are.
Everyone knows.
Problem.
And for 2+ years, I have just continued to tell you, and Tyler has backed me up, you guys, like when you guys work out together, this is just not something that mixes.
You're not set up for success.
You can't get out of it. You can't
but
snap
it's,
out of it.
When it's good, it's so good, man.
Yeah, but it's all because it's on your terms. And she's killed herself.
It's like you black out.
She's killed herself to get to your level.
Yeah, she'll
and
go.
She's probably, when you left, she's probably resting. And Lauren's listening to this. She's probably somewhere had to lay out to kill herself to get to your level.
She did tell
and
me today she was super sore.
And the moment that she has just had your child, and her core is not quite as strong as she wanted to be.
Who is a big sucker, by the way.
That core. Yeah, the moment she had you like Linda had you, and her core isn't strong, you roll your eyes and tell her.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's weak.
I hate when people say
not
I can't.
Mentally weak.
I hate that I can't. It was an I can't moment that I should have thought deeper about it. And I couldn't.
Use me and Ron, man. We'll be your accountability bros on this. Next time y'all are even beginning a workout, shoot us a text. We'll say a prayer for you or something and throw you a little advice as you head into the workout.
Okay. I hope my bride's listening. I want everybody to know I'm sorry.
Lauren,
I realize that I got a problem and I'm working
Lauren,
on it.
I pray. Find a workout partner. Lauren. Find one of your girlfriends. Find a workout partner. Somebody you can walk with. You can talk with. Maybe another one of your friends.
She don't need that.
Here you go.
Nobody needs that. You're wasting your time working out if your mind's not in it.
I know what she doesn't need, and I know what doesn't work.
You know what the marriage doesn't need.
I'm telling you.
it was a rough morning, boys.
You don't have it. Like Clint, like Tyler, I believe you could shut it off in that moment for Megan, even if you're feeling it and she hits you with, why do you have to make that face? Why you got to act like that?
They do know, usually, they do know us well enough to where there's one or two things they know they can say to where we'll see red. But I'm not sure that's what happened for Dirty.
You know, it ain't. You know what, Courtney, man? Your ass is just weak. Just mentally. What you're doing is just mentally weak.
Yeah, that's the bad part was I said it and then doubled down to let her know that I meant mentally weak, not physically weak. I thought that was going to help.
The physical was better. I think the physical was better. From the text line, she ain't all right. She smiled because she didn't want you to get fired. Now you're airing your business on the air. You're in trouble. Hey.
That's the first thing I told Ron, Clint, when you started this thing. I said, this is not something he should be revisiting
Clint,
right now.
You're traveling down a dangerous road.
Oh, come on, man. She'll be all right.
They know he's this lady.
Well, look, maybe she's not listening. I hope she is listening, baby. I'm sorry. I apologize in front of Houston and everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. You going to work out tomorrow?
No.
Be in the garage at 10:30.
And that's the other part. Like for me, even if, like, I think, man, Courtney, you could probably push it a little bit more than that. Play it. Just let her do her thing. You can't.
You know me. It's hard to let. It's hard to let anybody.
Not only can you not. You've created circuits. You've already created the entire workout. There's no, hey man, let's go down to the garage and she's gonna go over and do her thing. You've created the workout for y'all.
Yeah, I created the whole thing.
That's my favorite part, Tyler. Look, you couldn't do that a week ago, and now look at you.
Because I pushed you. That was positive reinforcement.
I pushed you. Damn it! Look at that.
At that moment, I still thought I was doing the right thing. Like I didn't click yet that I had screwed up. It was shortly after that when she abandoned me in the garage when I was like, wow, that was not.
She had to take a walk and you could find her.
I did not mean for it to go there.
You could find you a few more excuses.
That's exactly why I am the way I am, Linda. It's your fault.
Y'all better take your ass to breakfast or something in the morning when y'all got some free time, man. Don't go dancing or something.
Oh, man. I'll update you. I'll shoot you boys a text when I get home tonight, see what kind of shakes you
get. Yeah, I'm actually intrigued.
Please do.
I'm actually intrigued. Somebody said, go get some flowers, man. I think this needs an intimate conversation.
I bought all that wine. Remember at Specs, I bought all that wine. We'll just break out one of them expensive bottles.
Are we going to get your flowers for sure?
The way I envision it, Tyler, is Clint shows up and she said, she's in full workout gear. And she goes, come on.
Sitting in the garage.
Come on, let's go. Let's pick it back up. You want to go? Come on, you do it. Get out of here. Let's go.
Been a long time since 2 days, huh, Sterner?
Let me show you weak.
Or she's in her full equestrian outfit and say, all right, you want to talk about my core? Let's go ride these damn horses. Ride these damn horses. Get your ass on these horses. You want to talk about me? Let's see what you can do with these damn horses.
I'm better than this, boys. I'm better than this. That boy, yes.
Look at this. You couldn't do that a week ago. Now I was literally
at the moment I was super proud of her. Like I looked over there and she was doing it so much better than she was last week. And I was like, wow, that's real. Actually, that's really good, babe. So I decided to go ahead and push it a step
and
further.
You ripped her right on down. All right. Coming up, the Texans made some moves, some roster moves, and they had to put a player on IR. We'll keep you updated on that. Get you ready for tomorrow's game and an update coming from Joe Espada. An update coming from Joe Espada on Kyle Tucker. We'll let you know that coming up next.